Hello, everybody, and welcome to Showhoppers Culprits, the season one, and really the series recap. I'm Kurt, joined by my former high school teacher, Mr. Sal.
I don't say this very often, but I actually really hope that's the series recap.
It probably is. I can't see them making another season. If they did, I don't know. I mean, we'll cross that bridge if it comes to it. But
yeah, I'm happily watch it, but I really think
I don't know if I'll happily.
This is I will watch it. I really just don't know why you would. This is a well put together season series. Doesn't need any more.
Yeah, I don't know how you add on beyond that. But in either case, we're here with the series, as I'll call it, or at least the season one recap of Culprits. We'll be covered over the episodes, our ratings, our rankings of them, what order we put them in. We'll be chatting about a lot of superlatives and titles. By titles, I mean the episode titles. Which do we think's the best? What do we think's the worst? Character deaths. You know, how do we? Well, we're gonna guess each other's most shocking, saddest character we'll miss the most, the least, the moments we felt, and again the character superlatives at the end. So,
yes.
Are you ready, Mr. Sell, to start going over our rankings?
Yes.
Okay, then let's start it off.
Number 8.
So both of us have the same last place episode at number 8. Although I gave it an 8, you gave it a 9. Let us sit bent and talk straight. Not that great of an episode compared to the other ones. It was all right. It was fine. But this had the most boring action sequence of all the episodes, which is
for sure
kind of funny because it's some series. I mean, a shootout can be really intense. This was not a very intense shootout. This is what I'm speaking is mostly between Devil and Specialist. Ah, that whole part. You can hit snooze through that. And a lot of it's set in like one area, which isn't necessarily bad, but it just kind of feels like, you know, you put it very well when we were covering this episode.
Oh, thank you.
That I think would have been a great idea, which is if we were in like Azar's and Yusef's eyes or point of view for this episode, that we see them living their life. And then we kind of see a little bit of that, like Azar spots them, runs back home, warns Yusef. But if we had just not even been seeing the culprit's perspective up until that point where they finally got caught up with them, that could have been a better point of view for the episode. But it just feels a lot slower, not as much happens in it. And what does happen just isn't as interesting as other episodes. To say something that's a little bit better, I really liked the heist scene. I think this was my favorite scene for the episode, where Azar makes the sacrifice of her fingers for the door and also shows right hand as a character a bit, but that doesn't really end up mattering because we don't really get to know right hand all that well. How did you feel about it?
This is also my least favorite episode of the season. I did give it a 9, but it is also my number 8, and it's fine. But that's the best I can say about it, really, is it's fine.
Fine. So, nothing to write home about.
No, the action sequence that you're talking about isn't even the action sequence that kind of annoys me. It's when they're in the house and Devil is shooting into the house that really kind of annoys me. It's like, I mean, what passes for action sequences in this episode are just not even on this. They're not even playing the same game as the rest of the series. So.
Yeah, something I will give credence to though was the voicemail that Jules left Joe, or I should say David, when he's on the train, kind of a breakup voicemail esque thing. That was pretty good.
Yeah, overlapping with Specialist maybe bleeding out at the end, really made that an awesome. So that was my favorite scene of the episode for sure.
So that was definitely good. But all right, well then, let's move on.
Okay.
Number 7.
My 7th ranked episode, Change of Use, the first episode of the season. It's my 7th, gave it a 9 out of 10. Where do you have it?
I have it number 6, so just one up above you, and still 9 out of 10.
Right, so
we're very similar in this one.
Very similar. I think it's an overall good. It's a pretty good pilot. Like, we were both pretty excited after watching. I mean, this
absolutely.
This series as a whole, I'm really into, and I guess we could chat about that more as you get more into it, but it's breaks my heart a little bit that the series isn't that popular.
I know. But I'm so glad that we, because remember, we were not sure if we're going to watch this series or another series. Mm-hmm. And we both watched the pilots of the respective series, and it wasn't even close. We wanted to cover this one. I'm so glad we did. Mm-hmm. Because this is pretty great stuff.
Oh yeah. And this pilot is a really good pilot. It's so much happens. And again, I guess we're not naming this unnamed series, but that pilot was nowhere near as good as this pilot. It was a lot more boring and just, in a way, annoying.
It was annoying, yes. It's a good way to put it.
So interesting, so into it. I'm already all into Joe. This past, the garbage,
the garbage truck.
That was an amazing scene. That was a cool action scene. And I mean, throughout the whole season and series, we noticed so many cool action scenes that are just unique and well shot. And yeah, this garbage truck scene was a good sign of things to come.
Yeah, that really, to me, set the bar for this series. It was like, all right, this is what you can expect. These really cool action sequences that you've never seen before that are going to make you, well, make me stay awake, which is an accomplishment for an action sequence.
Yeah, if you don't fall asleep.
I usually do, so.
It's a good episode. Really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things that happen in this episode themselves, plot-wise, that Joe's doing don't really end up mattering. Like, we see a store, he goes to City Hall, he's trying to get the change of use for the storefront he's getting.
Yeah.
Again, that storefront doesn't matter by the end of it. We talked about it in our finale coverage last week, but I like how we learn about Joe through it, and it doesn't matter that it doesn't matter, because it wasn't there for the plot of it. It was there for the characterization part of it. You get to know Joe and what he's doing now. So
exactly right. And that I think that's what makes this a really great action thriller series, is that you do get to spend time with a character like Joe and really get to know him before he gets into trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So. Anything else you want to say on that?
No, I love this episode.
All right, then on to the next.
Number 6.
Nursing management, but in German.
Pflegedienstleitung.
Ah, yes. Do you want me to try to say it?
That's no, sure, go for it. No, don't worry about it.
Thank you.
Quesadilla. I thought you were going to say quesadilla.
It's an intimidating word to say. I'll say that about the German language. The words are intimidating.
Yes, Pflegedienstleitung.
So this is my 6th ranked episode, also a 9 out of 10. My last 9. Everything else is 10s for me here, 4th. But you, it's even higher.
Wow. Wow, that's right. Everything else is 10, 2, 4. For me, it's a number 4. I gave this a 10 out of 10. I love this episode.
So what do you love about it so much?
Well, I think that where we really differ on this episode is Specialist. I love the stuff in Norway with Specialist, especially now that we know how Specialist dies. That scene where she kills the elk, I mean, it's a mirror image of that scene. So that makes me love this scene where she kills the elk even more. I actually really liked the decoding of the message and her sending the message back. I really liked I liked pretty much everything about this episode. And I think that's just where we differed, because you did not like the decoding of the message, and I don't think you were all that excited about the Norway stuff, whereas I really was.
Yeah, you're right. That is probably the delineation point of why I gave it a 9 versus a 10. But there is also other great things in this episode that I liked.
Our favorite scene.
Yeah, where he takes out the trash, both literally and in a way figuratively.
Yeah,
that's Kyle Bedrosian's men being taken care of after kidnapping Joe, and he even gets a truce from Kyle Bedrosian.
Yes.
This is also the episode where Joe admits to Jules the truth.
That's right.
And that's an interesting scene. I don't know how tactful Joe was about it, especially with going back to his old accent, but
that's the part that gets me.
That is the part accent that gets me about it. You know, it's a hard thing to I could see in his head, it's like, maybe he won't believe me. Like, I'll think this is some one weird joke. So I really got to, you know, hammer it home. Whatever.
Yeah, really funny joke, Joe.
Yeah. That I used to be a heist to do bad things. Here's 50K.
Yeah, no, this, I have nothing bad to say about this episode. I love it. I think it's great. I think it's 10 worthy. Can't believe didn't give it a 10.
It's interesting. This is an interesting like cutoff point for me in the series, because now when I think back to it, like, this seems so distant, which obviously it was. Like, it's been over a month since we've seen these episodes of it back when he's home. But in my memory now for the series, I guess the next 5 episodes, he's never home, right?
You're right.
He's on the movies in the UK or somewhere around Europe, running around doing something with the rest of the culprits.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. This is very much a cutoff.
This is a cutoff. I mean, up until this point, I'm used to Joe being home, like in his Washington State. Not
there
to
you
see
go.
Washington State. Because that's a great name to name a state. I haven't complained about that in a while. So I guess we'll throw that in there. I really shouldn't have named it something else. Name wasn't already being used elsewhere. Yeah, it's a cool cutoff point. Or a transitional point in the series. That's what I should say.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good way to put it.
All right.
It's also your transitional point from 8s and 9s to 10s.
It is. 9s are no more. 10s, here we come.
Number 5.
The worst of the best for me, aka the lowest 10, is episode 2, Anglerfish. Where do you have that in your hierarchy?
I have that a little bit higher, also a 10, but I have that at number 3.
I see here so far we have a lot of these ones I'm seeing here. You have them a little bit higher.
Yeah, we'll switch in a minute.
So, we'll switch in not too long. But Anglerfish, this, I mean, it's a good follow up to the pilot. Originally, I think I was going to give this a 9, but I went up to a 10. I was rooting for Joe the entire time. And it's a very interesting pacing. We get to know Officer in the past. Joe struggles with like Kyle Bedrosian, society and racism. We see not the court again, but the board or the council. We see them again. Yeah. This is where it's like somewhat awkward comedic Joe complaining, or not complaining, but the counselor, the mayor, or whoever the head of it is, telling him, yeah, we have complaints about your place. Could I know these complaints? Joe asks. No, we got to keep those anonymous. It's just see. Yeah.
Can I ask how many letters? No, I mean,
a few.
Lots.
Oh, quite a bit. Multiple. The stuff when he's in Washington State goes a long way for his character, and I would say this episode goes the longest of those for his character and
his
actions
does.
And stuff. So that's why out of the first 3 episodes, this is the highest one for me. That was a big determining factor when I was putting together my rankings list.
Oh, yeah. It's a great episode. One of the things I really love about this is that in this one, there's a very, I think, a perfect balance of like typical heisty campiness and in the flashbacks, and then very emotional and character driven and character developing scenes in the present. So I really like this episode's balance. I think it's very well put together and really, it hits perfectly to me. There's this awesome scene too where he vacuum seals the money in rhythm with the score, which I just thought was cool. So cool.
Speaking of the past, this is the episode where they go to, I forget the character's name, but
there's Philip. I want to say Philip.
Philip, I think is it. Yeah. Who was an heir to the person that built the Morello vault and had the blueprints. So they worked their stuff. That's where we first see Specialist.
Yep.
Or Psycho doing her thing. To Philip for no loose ends. And we kind of see Joe's morality a bit. And this is kind of going back to learning his character, where he didn't like how or what they did to Philip. And he complained a lot to Brain, and Brain kind of threatened him to do as you're told and shut up.
Yeah. Yep. This is also the Kyle Bedrosian fencing match. No, I mean, not a verbal fencing match, yes. match, I should say. So, which that was a great scene too.
Oh, yes, definitely.
All right. There's a lot of great stuff in this episode.
On to the next one.
Number four.
There is also a pretty big difference here. My number four, this is Our Exit, episode 7, the penultimate. I gave it a 10. For you, though, what is it?
I don't want to say. The thing is, like, it's my number 7. It's my second least favorite episode of the season, but it's not like, I love this episode. I hate that I had to put something at number 7. Like, it was easy for me to pick number 8. Mm-hmm. It was not easy for me to pick number 7.
I would agree number 8. Okay, Let Us Sit, Bent, and Talk Straight is notably worse than all the other episodes.
Yeah. So this was one of my four nines. Although Let Us Sit, Bent, and Talk Straight was easily the lowest 9 for me. But then my other two nines, one of them we haven't talked about yet, so that clearly was a good one. And the other one, it was Change of Use, the pilot. And I just I don't know, maybe I have pilot bias the other way. I think I have pilot bias the other way.
What do you mean?
Like, I maybe overvalue pilots. I really, really just, I think a good pilot is so hard to do and so important to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's so when you get it right, and I really think they got this pilot right, I gotta praise it. So I put the pilot a little bit ahead of this one, but this episode is great. I have no, the only complaint I have about this,
and yeah, I was about to say, you all complaint.
The only complaint I really have about this penultimate episode is I think that the action sequences were a little typical, especially the stuff at Fuse's house, or no, sorry, Fuse's crep.
Yes.
The Compound Ranch Estate Plantation. That stuff to me rang a little, cliched, a little done, a little tropey. And they did it basically twice, because they had Joe go through his ceramics studio very slowly, and then they had Officer and Cracker go through his ceramic studio very slowly as well. So
I would agree that it's tropey in hindsight, but in the moment I was all I was none the wiser. I was expecting an explosion just from what Joe had said, and that's some credit to the series that they were good at subverting expectations.
Yeah, they definitely were.
Maybe not here as well for you, but you know, we talked about it in other parts. Like, we thought someone would be behind in the back seat of the car for Joe.
Yep.
Happened later, not then. There were some other instances. So they did a good job of that. And something that, here's something we both liked in this episode. The seeing Officer use her power throughout it. And especially with that Gwen Irving house, you know, when they get to Right Hand's home, his widow, his family, and that whole everything that went down there, Officer trying to do her stuff, then David trying to do his stuff, and then Azar coming in, and she's kind of just angry with the world, and she just wants us to get over with doing her stuff.
Yeah. And I love David doing, you know, quote, his stuff in Devil's track jacket.
Oh, yes. So, that was a nice addition.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's also where we learn, like, for this entire series, this series did a great job of slowly showing us more and more information in a very comfortable way. Like, now I end the series with the full, I feel like I know everything that happened now. Like, I understand what happened in the heist. Yeah. I understand Diane's reason for the heist, and, you know, Joe's whole stuff as well. But even up to this point, we don't really quite know what Devil, you know, the organization after them, why they're after them quite. Like, yes, Diane took something.
Yeah.
And she may or may not be alive. No, I think at this point we had seen her alive. Like, they had shown her in the flashback that she did live.
Well, or is it we had in the previous episode, Devil said that she was alive and Officer believed him. Mm-hmm. And then it was a question of whether or not we believed Officer. So we don't know that Diane's alive until
I think the scene later in this episode that shows it, like in the heist that
You're right, we do see a flashback. Yes, you're right. Yes.
So, but going more onto that, the people after them, we don't really know much about, but we at least kind of get to meet him. And maybe he's working. We know there's still a lot of question marks for it, but Vincent Hawk, about a fifth or fourth of the episode, is just this one scene after they've captured David. And I said it when we were covering this as well. This felt like such, felt like dessert or not even dessert. It's like if you maybe go to the fast food drive through, or if you go to a restaurant, it's more applicable, and you order something and you they accidentally gave you something else.
Yeah.
On top of what you got. Right. I ordered
the bonus fry. Yeah.
The bonus fry, the bonus nugget, or a whole bonus other thing that they just accidentally threw in there. I'm like, wow, that's what the scene was. I really didn't think we would get a whole other scene. I thought once they got David, that was gonna be the end of the episode. And that's gonna be we're gonna go into the finale with the captured David. No, I was so wrong. We got 10 more minutes.
10 more minutes of Vincent Hawks, which, I mean, it was great. He's great. I don't know that there's a like a ton.
All the substance of it? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The substance? Again, you could. I agree that the substance there is small, but that's what makes it really good to me. I'm very
100%.
Drawn to it. It's him trying to manipulate and use David's weakness for his family, right? He constantly brings it up, goes back, right? Oh, I could kill you and your family. Goes back to kind of being almost bad cop, good cop out.
One person, no, I totally agree. And I wouldn't change anything about this scene. I loved it. I really enjoyed watching it. It's just, you know, it's kind of what you expect, I guess. The one thing I will say, the one great thing I will say about it is they set up so early, like I think it was episode one, that we don't know when Diane is testing you. And so anything could be a Diane test. And he even called attention to it. Joe did earlier in the episode. Like, you don't know, maybe I'm testing you. Like, so I did spend this whole scene wondering, is this guy just working for Diane?
This all just a test. So,
anyway.
Apparently it was not that.
No, apparently not.
It was a really complicated test. All right. Well, on to the next one.
Number three.
My third ranked episode. 10 out of 10. Circles in a Circle. Where did you put that, Mr. Sal?
I put it at number five. This was my highest nine. My highest nine. And honestly, like, the reason this is my highest nine is because it's really not even a fair reason why I discounted it down from a 10. It's just I wanted more specialists.
I was about to say, there's no really, specialist. That's
I was
why.
Really into, there's a little bit of specialist. I was really into specialist at this point in the series. She was there in the beginning, and like they set it up as the, you know, Joe and specialist were going to start working together, and then she was gone, and I was very sad, disappointed. So that's the only reason why I knocked this down from a 10, and that's why I make it my highest nine.
This kind of went up. I mean, it was already a 10 for the episode when I had seen it. And when I was putting together my ratings list, I bumped it up because... So I talked about how episode 3 is a transition point. This is them sticking the landing, right? They're doing a big change up to the series now. We're no longer David Joe in Washington State. We're David Joe out around in Europe, in the UK for this episode. Is it the UK or maybe are they in France? They go all around, actually.
No, because Colin is here. It's the UK.
It is UK. You're right.
They make their way to France at the end of the episode.
You're right.
Do
we just see? We go around. We do leave. We do leave the UK in this episode, or London.
Yes.
All right. But but they go all around, and it's just, it's so interesting all throughout. I was so engrossed, and I was so excited for what was going to happen next. Like now. Well, we were watching it, and he's at home. You know, there's Kyle Bedrosian stuff seems like an issue. Are people going to come for him? He's dealing with the stuff. He's trying to get this. Like, I see where the storylines are when he's home, right? I understand what's going on here. He has his money. He's trying to hide that. He's trying to open up this business, and it seems like he has a lot of societal struggles, especially with racism, dealing with that. I understand a lot of conflict points going on here and where they could go for a story.
Yes.
But now he packs up and just leaves. At the end of the last episode, so I'm like, wait, he's not going to be starting a business. anytime soon, or like, you know, these challenges of racism at home isn't going to be as apparent, and they're not. And yeah, we already talked about how a lot of those don't end up mattering for the plot, but they introduced so much other stuff in this episode and stuff he's looking for. Now he's working with Officer Meat Specialist. He leaves, introduced to Colin, which I thought was cool. We see his family's home. That's all we actually get to see of them, but still, it's good. It was interesting to see.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's interesting. It's so interesting throughout. And even seeing the, where we get introduced to Azar and Yusef and their whole test.
Oh, yeah.
I love this episode.
Was this the episode, too, with the motel flashback?
The first time you see the motel for Officer and David?
Joe, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was.
I think you're right. It would be, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It is.
Okay, yeah. Well, there you have it.
Iconic. And what they did really well in this episode, too, and they have been doing flashbacks throughout, but I felt this episode especially... And they did it beyond this point too. Very good job with the time fluidity from just jumping around. And people might call this lazy. I don't feel like it's lazy to do this, but when they just give you the text of the location or like then versus now, I don't mind it at all. They didn't always do it, but they did it when it was necessary. And I was almost, I was never confused. I was never confused to the time order of anything in this series.
No, me neither. And you know what I really I came to appreciate toward the end was that they used before, then, and now, right? Mm-hmm. Or however long after. Like so in the finale, for example, they used 24 hours after, right? But I like that because it makes the heist itself kind of the central point of the series. Right. And they define everything relative to it before, then meaning during the heist or the day of the heist, and then after. So I didn't notice the then part and the early in the season. Do you know what I mean? I don't think I'm making sense, but
no, I see what you're saying. No, yeah, because the delineation of like the day of the heist, then like that's the day.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just makes everything, it puts everything else relative to that, which makes that event more meaningful, I think.
It's true. Very true. Yeah. So, and they also did a great job with, for example, here, even in the final episode, we see Officer and David in the motel room.
Yes.
They did a great job, and multiple times we see them in the planning room, the before time, before the heist.
Yep.
So they do a very good job of using like the setting to call back to another flashback without, you know, putting then or now anymore. Like we know, and then they can just swap between them and really good job. As I said before, when we were doing this episode, it's like Kaleidoscope done right for Ozark.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, anything else for that one?
No, I'm good.
Okay. And onwards.
Number two.
So, henceforth, we have the same list here. So I think there's another clear delineation here in the episodes. So we have Let Us Sit, Bent, and Talk Straight, very bottom. Everything else we've discussed, 3 through 7. But the top two, number two, A Forest, we both gave it a 10, the series finale, or season finale at the very least.
I can't even believe that this isn't my number one episode of the series. Like, I can't believe there's a... I shouldn't say that. I can't believe there's an episode that I like more than this episode, because I love this episode.
It's good. And it gets that boost from being, like, the ending of the storylines and everything.
Yes.
It's a good job. Like, they wrap it up nicely. They leave enough questions to be asked. It's really satisfying to learn about, like, why Diane did what she did and getting a conclusion to that. David and Joe's conclusion, and you know, the rest of the characters, Officer included, his family, and what he wants from Jules. It's a great episode.
No,
I did not know what was going to happen all throughout. I was wondering, is Hawks a ploy from Diane? Is Jules planted by Hawks? I think Jules was indeed cover by Joe early on. They met only 24 hours after the heist, but I don't really know. And that's a question that I'll just have to have. They don't really come down on an answer for that.
You mean that Joe just latched onto Jules to keep out of, to like help himself escape? Or
yes, or well, at least as a cover. Yes, I think at first. I think there's credence to that. So Jules brings it up, episode 3, when Joe tells him the truth, or maybe he brings it up in the voicemail following. But he definitely brings it up at some point of, are we just a cover, or am I just a cover?
Right.
That, and I was like, I don't think that. I think he truly does care about them. And even before he had told Jules, I think I had brought up to the podcast, what if this is just a cover? I think in episode 1 or episode 2, I was like, what if this family's just a cover? He doesn't really care about them. It's apparent he really does care about them. But at first, was it just a cover, right? He definitely could have learned to care for them. I think he definitely loves and cares for them now. But
yeah.
And I think it's a question that the show doesn't really answer. And that's fine, right? It's up to interpretation. And I think I give more credence to maybe it was a cover. That's a pretty quick turnaround time. I don't know. An event that's stressful to find your person or a soulmate shortly afterward, I feel like that's a hard thing to do. Unless you're actively looking for one.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Maybe that's just me projecting on that, but I don't think I could do a heist and then 24 hours later really connect with someone that level.
No, fair enough. I didn't even really focus much on that in this episode. Most of what I focused on was, Diane.
I mean, that's only the intro scene. That's like 2-3 minutes long of him drinking at the bar.
Yeah, but honestly, like, Diane to me really made this episode, because I just never expected her to have a cause, a reason why she did this heist.
Mm-hmm. The whole season series, she looks like a cold, calculated person that organized crime mob boss. That's all Diane seems to be. You know, she'll kill you if you're a loose thread.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, this episode just completely morphed her character into something I didn't even ever expect to see. So really, really great in that regard. I thought it tied a nice bow on David and Jules. The theme of BU and Joe trying to figure out who he was. I'm a Joe. That comes up in this episode. I'm a Joe. And he proves to be a Joe by the end, which it's perfect. What a great finale.
It's great. Yeah, it's amazing. Love it.
And the shock of Officer's death, which I never saw coming.
Oh, yeah. It's the peak highs that you were feeling for a moment.
Oh, my God. So high.
Almost,
so
almost, very high. Almost got Officer's name. Almost. It would have been a hilarious one. My name's Officer.
Well, not only that, but Vincent had just died, which I had predicted. And Officer was walking out of the room alive, which I had predicted.
And predicted that we would know Officer's name.
Yeah, and she was about to give it. And then two of those three things were taken away from me. They can't take away Vincent's death. But other than that, they took the others away from me.
And that is why this is your second and not your first ranked episode.
Maybe. No,
let's move on.
Number one.
Our favorite episode for culprits. If you've been deducing it, you already know it, but it's episode 6, 10 out of 10, Vessels.
Yeah.
This is an amazing episode. I said it when we covered it, that this might be one of my favorite episodes, full stop, of like the series I've seen.
Yeah.
Still thinking about it, I really do like the episode. It's a good one. It's very much up there. It's,
I mean, you have the full context now. You're not going to get any more context for the episode. So, I mean, can I put your feet to the fire and ask you, is this one of your favorite episodes of television?
Yeah. I mean, I'll certainly say it's definitely the top 10, I think.
Okay.
I'll give it top 10. I will give it top 10 because I think of this episode and it like makes me happy. It's like a smile. It's just so many cool things that happen in the episode. Like a great mixing of things. Looks, we get the culprits are on the train.
Yeah,
that's what Joe goes off to go get the money. That money's missing, and he has to help his family get out of trouble. That cool action sequence.
That is so
trying
cool.
to get them out of the house. That's wicked.
Yeah, I like to call it the Jules video game.
It's a Jules video game.
Or Joe is just like voice activating, controlling Jules. I love it.
We see him visit Collins, and that's what an interesting, awkward, but like, what a scene. Like, Joe is so in the wrong here from almost so many viewpoints, but not from Joe's view, not from the viewpoint we're seeing it, which is like, he's desperate. He's in need. There's someone after him. He's stressed about his family. He doesn't have any money. So he robs his former partner, like his former flame that really cares about him. Like, rough. Oh my goodness. I've never seen anything like it. Yeah, I've never seen anything else like it. So we get that. The nightclub, everything that occurs there, officers tied up. Eventually, the devil comes in specialist death. That.
Well, don't forget the mountain lion scene. This is like
the swan song scene of, you know, doing her wound, where we get to hear a little bit about her and background, and she really did, I guess, get a mountain lion.
But then her death, which mirrors the death of that elk that she killed in episode 3. I mean, it's perfect. It's so good.
It's perfect. Not only that it mirrors that, which is really cool, but it's also, like I said, I'm a big fan of a whimper, you know, going out on a whimper. I know that's a weird thing, right? That is a weird thing, but I love it. It makes it a lot more sad. It's good.
I just don't see this as a whimper.
I see it as a whimper.
This is like operatic to me.
You're totally right. I would agree that's operatic. But if you had told me a house muscle gonna die, if I had to guess that specialist would die, I'd be like, oh, specialist's gonna die taking out 10 people, right? Blaze of glory. She's gonna tell her crew, guys, move on, I'll stick behind. Like a sacrifice of some sort.
Yeah. It's
a really action-packed death. And there, you know, she is a bit of a firefight, but she's so weak and sick from the previous encounter and her bleeding out. And it's not the death I would expect for a character like Specialist. I guess that's the way I'd put it. And so relative to that, it's more of a whimper. But no, I agree. Like it's not like she just died off camera and it was a, I don't mean it by that, by whimper, but it's not it's not a huge blow up or explosion.
I guess.
So that's what I'm referring to. Because I can see a character like Specialist. I feel like most times now when you get a character like Specialist, that if they're gonna die, that's how they're gonna die.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think it's really cool when you can make it really compelling, and it doesn't have to be a super action-packed, high-stakes death like that.
Yeah, and boy, was this compelling. The fact that she died the same way as the elk is like, I just think that's such a special part of the series. But I wonder how many people actually noticed that.
I didn't notice it, so that's true. That's true. So at least 50-50 maybe, but probably less given the IMDb ratings.
Man, I feel bad, man. I feel bad for Jay Blakeson, the creator of the series, who's like, I'm sure, like, was so excited about writing it that way, and half the audience probably doesn't even notice it.
Certainly, and we also get to end off the episode with the culprit
interrogation.
Yes, capturing the devil. We didn't even go over like Azar not following the plan too, but Azar's whole thing. And culprits capturing the devil, that whole part of it, that's great. Joe eventually getting emotional enough to the point where he shoots the devil square in the head.
Yep.
Great. Actually, no, this is the episode. So this is where he reveals that devil reveals that Diane's alive. And then the very last scene is seeing Diane tell Fuse to blow it. And then she gets in, extra his car, that's and right. leaves. So, sorry, that's this right. is the episode. But, which maybe makes it all the better. Whichever, that's a minor part. This episode's wonderful. It's
so good.
It brings in so many elements from the series as a whole, and like it's
it's really, really great.
I am a huge fan of that episode, very big fan of the series as a whole. And
I agree.
Going more back over to how this is not a very popular series, listeners, please recommend this episode to people. It really makes me sad that people don't know this episode. A lot of the series we cover, if I talk to people I know in my life, at least someone knows of the series.
Yeah.
Artful Dodger is a pretty small series that I, well, but they know of, like, they know of Artful, like, people, you know.
Well, they know Oliver the character, Twist, maybe, yeah. If they yeah. know Oliver Twist. Like, yeah.
Oliver Twist is a popular IP and stuff, and a known IP. But this, no one I know knows about this, and that makes me sad. I'm like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I just was having a conversation with my college roommate this week, and, you know, he had asked me if we were covering a different series that we are not covering. So, and I said, no, you know, I'm sorry that, you know, we're not doing that, but this is what we're doing right now. I told him about Artful Dodger and Culprits, and he said, I've never heard of either of those. he was asking about True Detective. We're covering True Detective, and I said, I've never even seen a single season of it, so it didn't feel right covering season 4 without having covered seasons 1 through 3. And I said, you know, we're covering Artful Dodger and Culprits. He said, never heard of either one of them. And he's someone, I think, who would love Culprits, and he's quite plugged into, you know, what is available in pop culture and entertainment. He's, I guess, probably more of a movie person than a TV person, but he is, he's someone I would have expected to have at least heard of these things.
Yeah.
So,
and not just cricket noises.
Yeah. And Artful Dodger, I feel like that one, I don't know if I would definitely recommend it to anyone who kind of knows the world of Oliver Twist to begin with. I don't know if I'd really push it hard on people who don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This one, I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to watch this.
It covers a lot of bases.
It does.
Maybe if you actively don't like this action-y style drama stuff, like I could see it being a turn off some people, but I generally don't.
Like, I generally don't like action-y stuff.
Well, when I say action-y drama, I guess I mean, I don't think everyone likes, I guess not everyone likes drama in series.
Yeah.
Most people do, but some people, I think, just do not care for a drama. Like, they don't want something that's episodic. Is that right?
Or they want to check their mind and just see the guns fire and no, bright colors.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just sad, love drama. So we are very much opposing this viewpoint. But there's definitely people that don't like drama. So if you don't like a drama, fine, you probably don't like Culprits. You probably don't like a lot of stuff that we cover.
I feel like even if you don't like dramas in general, I feel like you can still like Culprits. But maybe I'm wrong.
I know you might not be wrong because there's quite a bit of action, and there is
and the action that's in it is so cool and unique. It's like I can't believe this didn't find a bigger audience. So yeah, folks, spread the word. Tell somebody about this.
Yeah,
that's your homework assignment. Just go tell one person.
No, not one, two people. Because then and then you tell those two people to also listen to Show Hoppers. Then when they get to the recap for Culprits.
They'll
hear
go tell people.
Which, by the way, if you're a second generation Show Hoppers listener, welcome. you can then eventually it'll spread and the whole world
will listen.
Will see Culprits. But no, seriously, go still. Yeah, tell
people. It gets nominated for 27 Emmys.
Yeah. But yeah, it'll get a season 2 then. It'll be renewed for 3 more seasons.
No, we don't want that. But
that'll be the monkey.
But what we do want is for Jay Blakeson to get another opportunity to make another series.
I know.
Now, that's what we really want.
Now I really want to see what else is cooking up.
Exactly. He's done some movies. I don't think he's really done too much else, but in terms of TV, but
he has Gunpowder as a miniseries.
Oh yeah, you don't like Gunpowder.
I don't.
You saw that, didn't you?
No, I did not.
That's the one with Kit Harington, right?
I have not seen that.
I could have sworn you told me you saw it and didn't like it, but
I've lied to you then.
Okay. No. Wouldn't be the first time.
No, I've not seen that. I'm looking at it right now. Oh, so it was only 3 episodes. Oh, that's a viewer count. Might watch that though.
Okay.
Yes. Listen, big fan though now. Only absolutely. One series, but hope to see more from Jay Blakeson.
Me too.
Good job. Well then, Mr. Sell.
By the way, Jay Blakeson, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on the show. So,
oh yeah, we
let us know.
We will wax lyrical.
You can
only
email
good
us
to say.
showhopperspodcast@gmail.com. But it will be a puff piece. We love this show.
It'll be nothing bad. Okay, so let's talk about the titles now. Okay.
The titles.
The best and the worst title. Let's start with the worst. Okay. Move our way to the best. I'll guess you first.
Okay.
I've kind of already said this, and I'm not afraid of saying this. I think for the most part, in some of the recent series we've covered, titles have been kind of stinkers. Right? They've not been all that great. We covered more recently. Like,
I liked Artful Dodger's titles. I liked Bodies' titles. I did not like Murder at the End of the World.
Bodies was okay. Artful Dodger was. Maybe titles in general, just second thoughts. I feel like titles are such second thoughts.
Yeah.
In series, really, I feel like they pick them out in like a minute. Like they don't even think about it that much. Maybe don't come on the podcast. It won't be a puff piece. We'll rinse you on your titles. No, I'm just joking. The worst title here, that you would have said,
I think this is hard because I think a lot of these are not great titles.
Yeah, I know. So I don't think you said the German one, as you could say that one. Nursing management.
Pflegedienstleitung.
You love saying that too.
So I do.
So that alone, that might even be your best title, but that's, I think you actively said, let us sit bent and talk straight. You really didn't understand why that was titled that. You like your titles thematically. I'm going to go with Let Us Sit Bent and Talk Straight is your worst title.
Okay. I think that's a contender for you too, but I think Vessels, even though it's your favorite episode, I have no idea what that means. I remember saying, don't have any idea what that means. I think that's your least favorite title, Vessels.
Now, maybe I should have put Vessels as my least favorite. There's a lot of ones here. I just ended up going with
Pflegedienstleitung?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I went with A Forest.
That's on my short list as well. I have no idea what that means.
You did mention when you were covering it, you know, that Jules and the kids are in a forest.
The trees.
I didn't hammer that one home, if that's why, though. I really don't know why. And the other thing is, you know, this is a final episode. You know the one you can take out of for a finale. So many titles you can go with. There's always a tried true all in. That works. You can put it, they could have just did all in and that would have worked.
Yeah.
It would have worked. So
yeah, you're right.
Really it's because it's the finale and it was not a good title is why I ended up picking it. Cause there's a lot of bad titles and especially for a finale, I feel like you just have a lot more choices to go with.
Yeah. When I say A Forest is on my short list, it's not a very short list. It's more than half the series. But I went with Vessels, the one I guessed for you, because I have no idea what that means. That's like, not a clue.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Vessels, I still don't know either. I just, again, the only reason I picked Forest over Vessel is the finale.
So here's the thing. A Forest, I will at least remember that the last scene is set in a forest. I will at least remember that much. Like that. So when I hear A Forest, I'm like, what scene was set in a forest? Well, I guess it's that one. Okay, it must be the finale. Same thing with Let Us Sit Bent and Talk Straight. This is so stupid, but I'm at least going to remember that Devil sat Yusuf down in that lawn chair. so at least those two, there is a trigger in my memory for what happened in the episode. With Vessels, I got nothing. I have nothing. It's not to me thematic for the whole series as a whole, and it's certainly not anything that's going to help me remember the episode.
Fair. All right. Well, best title. Well, you guess right. First here.
So I know there are two things that you like in a title. The first is the more straightforward one, which is, does it help you remember what happened in the episode? The second is you like when you learn terms from other languages that you can incorporate into your regular vernacular. So by that second logic, maybe Pflegedienstleitung, but no, you can't even say that. So forget that. You're also not going to be incorporating nursing management into your regular vernacular. So I think that your favorite title, let's see, is, I think, boy, this is tough. There's not really much here that I think you like. And now I'm disappointed that I showed you my entire quote unquote short list
because oh yes left. You are.
I'm gonna say that you said your favorite title was "This Is Our Exit."
Okay, all right. I mean,
I don't really have any good reason for it, but no, I think you're gonna remember them getting off the highway to go to Fuse's house.
So based on your again not so short list. A five in your worst titles. That remaining three is "This Is Our Exit," "Change of Use," and the German one.
So,
nursing management. So it's either for the fun of it, you did the nursing management, or you've decided. I guess the most thematic one out of those is "Change of Use" because of the BU part and. Well, no, that's not
right. The what part?
No, never mind. I take it all back. In my head, I interpreted the title wrong. Change of use, not at all the theme of being yourself. So, if anything, that'd be okay. What the heck would you have picked? I have no
I know,
idea.
Right? These are not good.
This is our exit. Maybe it did. Maybe, okay, I'll say you said the German one. You love saying that word.
I love saying that word. It's not my favorite title, though. Oh. I did go with "Change of Use." You had the right idea. I felt like this is Joe trying to change himself.
That was the matter.
Or David. Right. I guess David trying to change himself into Joe. And by the end, he does.
Oh, but it's your second. My favorite one was Fajingjai Sunk.
That was your favorite title? Fajingjai Sunk was your favorite?
I learned a new word. So I can say that. And furthermore, I will remember that episode of the nursing management episode where he communicates back true. And this is a transition point when he leaves. Like it actually helps me remind a lot or
okay.
Run me a lot. Despite it being
fair enough.
In all essence for me, gobbledygook, I understand it. It's whereby I will probably eventually we'll see. I wonder if for like a few years from now if I'll remember this means nursing management.
Oh man! Well, hey, I'm excited to hear that. I do like that trend that you have that if there's something in a different language that interests you, you usually pick it as your favorite title. I just didn't figure this one
no,
because you can't even pronounce
I
it.
I really can't. Not for this. I think when we had covered it, so like a few months ago now, before I saw the episode, one of the two, I like looked up. I think it was before because I looked up what it meant. Then I looked up a pronunciation. I was practicing saying it. But I can't like no I could for like a few minutes and then I've lost the pronunciation.
I'm sorry to hear that.
But nursing management, yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, then let's transition over to character deaths, which there's been a lot
of character deaths
in this series.
We got that whole montage of them at the end there.
Mm-hmm. And is that even all of them? Is it? We don't see Malik's death.
That's right. They don't show us Malik again.
Otherwise.
Or Devil. Oh, yeah. Don't Devil. Yeah. They do show us Devil.
They basically sum up Devil. Yeah. Devil specialist and whoever the random person is.
Yeah. You're right. I didn't even include the random person this list.
That's
but
fine.
So I guess there are. Where do you want to draw the line here, though? Because I think that, I mean,
there's enough certain... that we can say no minor characters. I think we know what we mean by minor characters. So everything that you wrote down for the deaths is Driver, Doctor, Soldier, Malik, Griezmann, Specialist, Devil, Right Hand, Vincent, Officer. I think we can agree that Driver, Doctor, Soldier, and to a point, I would say Right Hand. You can argue
do
that.
Do you want to include Right Hand? I wasn't sure about Right Hand. I wasn't sure about Malik.
Malik, I would keep around.
Well, then I would keep Right Hand around.
Okay, then get rid of both then.
Oh, okay.
Then I'll agree. So we just get rid of both then.
All right. I mean, I might even, in that case, if we're going to get rid of Right Handed Malik, I might even get rid of Griezmann.
I disagree with that. No way.
All right.
Griezmann's more important. I mean, he's there for the heist. He's around.
I think Right Hand had more to do in the series than both Malik and Griezmann.
I would disagree. I think Griezmann had more to do than Right Hand.
Griezmann's in two episodes.
I think Griezmann has more screen time.
Malik
than right
is
hand.
Also in two, and Malik is in two scenes.
Yeah, no, yeah, I get that. No, I'll concede Malik and right hand.
All right, so then we're just down to Griezmann specialist, Devil, Vincent, officer.
Yes, that's fine.
All right.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Good list.
All right.
All right. So, most shocking death. I'm going to guess you. Who actually? You know, there's a few actually. You could argue a lot of these as shocking in one way. Really, there's a way I could see you arguing every single one as shocking in some way. It kind of depends what you mean by shocking, but like Griezmann, like Youssef being burned alive is shocking in its own right. Specialist's death, maybe you saw it coming or not. Devil just got shot, but you know, you kind of see that coming. Vincent, again, you kind of see his death coming. Officer, of course, you did not see that coming at all. I think you said officer.
I think you said officer too.
Okay, yeah, I said officer, of course.
I said officer. Holy cow.
That was very shocking. That was really shocking.
That might have been the biggest shock of the series. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But that was I never saw it coming.
Oh, most certainly. All right. Well, you're up to bat.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. Saddest death. What do you think is the saddest death? Well, I believe that you wouldn't let me eliminate Griezmann from the list because you used him somewhere. And I think this is where you used him. So I think you think Youssef's death is the saddest.
Okay.
You got Azar throwing money at Devil, trying to make him stop, and he just doesn't. And then Azar has to watch her grandfather burn to death in front of her.
Now, throwing money is not always a sad thing, though. There's in I don't know if it's all Indian weddings. My family's Punjab, but in at least Punjab weddings, they'll
Sasrikal.
Yeah, Sasrikal. the weddings, you just kind of throw money on the dance floor. You just throw money.
that's pretty stuff. Cool.
You say it's cool. I've been
married in one wedding like that.
You should. They don't give a. Yeah, they actually give you money straight up. Like, so if you're the bride and groom getting married, you sit for photos. And when you come up to take your photos, you, like, put money on their lap. And then you take a photo.
Hey.
That's straight up cash. Okay. But I will say, the last wedding I went to, for the reception, like, during the dancing is when people throw money on the dance floor. the event hall told them to stop. And the people did not stop. So then they were getting angry and repeatedly told them to stop.
Oh, my gosh.
So I remember that was... Anyway, sorry. That was
that in the United States?
It was not actually. That was in Canada. But
well, still, in Canada.
It was not in India.
So they were unfamiliar with the custom.
It would look so. Yes. Or they were familiar and it annoyed them. One of the two. Okay. But they were not pleased though.
All right. Well,
you said for me. I think very clearly for you, it's specialist. I'm specialist. Was your favorite character, and maybe still is your favorite character despite their early exit. So, specialist for you.
The saddest death, most poetic death, most operatic death. Yes, specialist.
So,
I got it. You got
unsurprising.
It.
I also said specialist, but Griezmann is my runner up. That is why I also wanted to keep him in the running because I originally it was specialist. I changed it to Griezmann, then I changed it back to specialist.
Okay.
I mean, just to defend Griezmann's point, I mean, you guessed him for me. I don't know if it was because of the meta point of it, but, you know, it's a sad death. You know, he gets dragged over, burned alive. Azar has to see it. That's just, you know, by the book, a very sad death. But specialists is it lining up with the deer or the caribou. And again, it's a whimper, not a blaze of glory, as that colonel says. And her line, you know, I'm the best, but I'm the best. And then just
throat's slit. Yeah. So I guess, like, in terms of the characters surrounding the death, Youssef is probably the saddest death. But in terms of which one made me the saddest, specialist made me the saddest.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. This is, makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
character I'll miss the least.
Yeah.
I think you will miss out of the five remaining. Ooh, there's a few you can go with that. Definitely not specialist or officer, that's for sure. It's either Devil, Griezmann, or Vincent. Oh, I really don't know. I think you said Youssef. Now that he's a choice, I think you're going to say Griezmann.
Okay. And I think you... you probably said Yusuf. I think you said Yusuf.
All right.
I did. I said Yusuf.
I said the devil.
Really?
You know, he's not really like, I don't know anything about, like, he's not, I don't.
Oh, I know, but that's why I'll miss him. I want to know more about this guy.
I don't know if there's much more to know about the guy, though.
It might not be.
I have no pull to want to know more about the guy. You know, he might be the flattest character of all the characters, which isn't Maybe. Necessarily bad. Like, I think the devil serves a really good thing for the series, and he's like, you know, he's like a driving force, and I think they got rid of him at a good time and like moved past it. So I'm not really complaining about the devil as a character, but just I don't really care for him, the character side of the character. So like when he died, I was an odd man, the devil's gone. Like, yeah, no, it's whatever. I mean, he served his purpose. If anything, yeah. he is the walking, like, is MacGuffin right to say? Or
yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, so that's why I say the devil. But I totally get Greaseman when you compare up to these other characters that we have.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so I said Yusuf because I still believe that if we're going to strike right hand from this list, we should have struck Yusuf from this list because he was such a nothing character for most of the series. He had like the safe cracking scene and his death scene that were actually substantial, and everything else was, he was barely in it.
And right hand's whole, what's substantial a right hand other than he got killed?
I mean, he had the interrogation in the first episode where he pulled Joe in. Or
oh,
David,
you know what?
In.
You're right. I forgot he's the one that does that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had, and then he had the I guess the extortion of Diane in the safe. I think Right Hand was a much more interesting character than Yusuf. I definitely will miss Right Hand more than Yusuf.
That's fair, and I'll definitely agree. Devil is a way more important character than a Greaseman. That is for sure. I just will miss him less.
Okay. Well, I'll miss Yusuf the least. How about the most? I think this is a place where you are. Well, obviously, you're not going to say Devil or probably Yusuf at this point. You might very well say, I don't think you're going to say Specialist. You might, though. You might say Specialist. You might say Officer. You might say Vincent. This feels like a place where you say Vincent because you liked him and you wish we had more of him. That's what this feels like. But I don't know. You've already used Officer and Specialist in these deaths. I'll say Vincent. Why not? I'm going to go with Vincent for you.
The fact you said Vincent for me makes me wonder if you said Vincent. No, I think you said Specialist because you seemed really upset when Specialist died.
Naturally I said Specialist. I want more Specialist.
I went back and forth between Officer and Specialist, and I ended on Officer just because
you're wrong.
No, not because I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. We didn't get to see Officer's name.
That's true.
So that's why.
Right. Oh, that's a great point. Oh man, that's a really great point.
All we needed is one more second. That's a terrible thing.
Oh, I like that though.
Now there seemed to be you know, I'm not saying there was like there was like a connection between Officer and Joe. So throughout the series, Joe seems to have relationships with a lot of the characters. I'm not saying like sexual relationships, but closeness with the characters. Like Azar seems to trust, everyone seems to trust Joe. Like Specialist gives up the location to her guns just to Joe. And Officer, I mean, in the motel room right after the heist and throughout works with Joe. So of all of them, I think Officer had the closest relationship with Joe. And
you're probably right.
I'll kind of miss that dynamic between them. And yeah, I'll leave it there.
Okay. No, that's fair.
But Specialist is my runner-up for it. I mean, Specialist was also a pretty interesting and funny character. A cool character for sure.
Cool cat.
Yeah. Not as cool as the cool cat though.
Not the listeners. Cool cat.
Yeah, if you want to know the cool cat, check out our bodies coverage.
That's right.
Whiteman, he's a cool cat.
He is a cool cat.
Also a criminal, but a cool cat.
Very much so. All right. So let's get into some moments then.
All right. So these we do not guess for each other because the series is full of moments. There's so many moments. Even though we could probably guess some of them, we just kind of share them. This one, I think we could have the same moment, or funniest moment.
I think we probably have the same moment for most jaw-dropping moment. I don't know. I don't think we have the same moment for funniest moment.
I don't think we have the same for the same most jaw-dropping. I probably should. We probably should, but I think you're going to be upset with what I picked for that one. But for funniest,
all right.
I said Joe being kidnapped by Kyle Bedrosian's goons.
I think specifically if you want to go that route, I think maybe like just the car out in front of the lawn the next morning.
You think
it's probably the funniest part of that?
If you let me lump it all in, because I kind of called just that kind of, because that's right afterward. I feel like you could lump that in, if I have to pick between the two, I'd actually say, like, the breathing one, right? Or when he realizes they're Kyle Bedrosian's men.
You think that's the funniest moment? I just think that's so cool. I don't think it's funny.
I think it's kind of funny because he's so worried, and then he's not anymore. And that to me, there's a comedy in that because
there is.
It's that these guys think they're scaring the crap out of Joe, and they have been scaring the crap out of him, but it's because he thought they were someone else, and so the fact he's now no longer worried, but they think they have all the upper hand on him, I think is really funny.
It is. You're right. So I went with not that. I went with Specialist's winks.
Oh, so
I love her winks. Every time she winks, I giggled. This guy is dead. We don't know who killed him. It's rumored. We don't know who kills him. And they look at the Specialist. She's like, it wasn't me. She turns and looks at Joe and winks at him. Like, she's just funny. I really like her.
See, Specialist is really funny.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Most jaw-dropping moments, I don't know, man. I'm shocked that you didn't pick this, if you didn't pick it. But it's Officer's Death to me.
I thought about doing Officer's Death. And that was, like, the original one I was thinking of. I swapped it, though. Or at least I didn't even write it down, but I decided on something else. Mostly because she's already under shocking death, and I was like, it's kind of like, you could put it here. It's very fair to put it here because it is such a shocking death.
I did,
and you did do that. I decided not to, almost for that reason, and I because there's other moments I guess I wanted to highlight, so I went with David directing Jules and the kids out of the house.
Oh,
in vessels. I went as jaw dropping because I was like my breath was holding. I was not shocked; would not have been shocked if they got captured, right? So to me, it was not like a done deal that they were going to get out. So I was very invested, and right put.
Okay, all right. How about the most emotional moment?
I guess I'll go first for this one. Most emotional. Yep. I ended up leaving episode 4 when Jules leaves his voicemail. Or Joe.
Now and that's Joe where we have the same one.
And Joe is busy trying to save Specialist from dying.
Yeah, we do have the same one for that one. All right.
All right.
From our least favorite episode, the most emotional moment of the series.
Who would have thought?
Right? Because that was Let Us Sit, Bet, and Talk Straight. It is.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It would have been.
Yeah. I almost put Specialist Death. That was a close second for me, but only because of the poetry of it, but I think the way to go is the voicemail. All right, how about quote that will stick with you? I guess I'll go first this time. And I went with Joe's quote to his kids over and over again, be you. It's kind of the theme of the series, be you. And by the end of the series, I guess the point of the series is Joe trying to figure out exactly who he is, and then by the end figuring it out and being himself. So be you.
All right. We have the same quote here, but I'll be honest. So I wrote down here, be you, which later becomes I'm going to be me. But the reason it's going to stick with me is because you brought it up for a cover.
So many times.
Yeah, I know. I see that as the theme of the episode series. Had you not, I don't know what I would have picked, but this is.
Oh, you would have picked the truth is off. The truth is always crappier than fiction. Probably would have been what you picked.
Maybe, but
that's a good one though.
But I that's a good one. But I did do BU as well.
Oh well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
I made that one easier for you.
You did. You very much did.
All right.
Fed me.
Yeah. Exactly. It's almost, to me, it was almost as easy to pick this as it was to pick Know You Are Loved from Bodies.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that's true.
So.
Okay, well then, we're on to the character superlatives.
Mm-hmm.
Goodest character, baddest character, most character growth, biggest turn on a character, most entertaining character, and most interesting character.
Yeah.
Who starts?
I went first last time, so I guess you guess me for goodest character first. Who do you think I said was the goodest character?
Man, I don't know. This is always the most contentious one, I feel like. I don't know why you get so riled up for it. I don't know. Who? Could you have said Diane in a way? Like that Diane is the goodest character. No. Mm. No, you did not say Diane.
Oh,
that'd be ridiculous. That'd be ridiculous.
Okay.
You wouldn't say. Maybe you said Joe.
Okay.
Or Jules. Why Jules, though? Jules, you know, I mean, I don't see Jules do anything bad. That doesn't mean he's the goodest character, though. We see Joe have to go through a lot of choices. Yeah. You know, the Joe, not David necessarily. Joe is the goodest character.
Okay. I think that you said Jules because he doesn't do anything bad.
Isn't that
because I said Jules? Because why would I not say Jules?
I feel like not doing bad doesn't make you good, right?
I mean, well, he's good. He's like trying to protect his kids. So, but
all right, here I'll say it right now. I thought about putting Jules, but I was like, you know, I feel like Jules is, that's like saying Bud almost, right? Like I could say Bud.
Oh, but Jules is a much more substantial character. I know.
That is a really reductive thing to say. Jules is a more Jules is a bigger character. I felt it was more interesting to say Joe. Because he has certainly made, well, let me say this here. Not David, Joe is a good character. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to defend here. David has certainly made bad choices.
Ridiculous.
He has certainly made bad choices, right? He's robbed. He's killed.
How many people did Joe kill in this series?
Only people in the game, and he wanted to protect his family. He had a good cause.
Okay.
I think anyone in his circumstances would feel they're doing the good thing, but they if you were in Joe's circumstances because of what that person David did to him.
Ah, that son of a gun.
So Joe, not David, the goodest character.
Okay, but you know I'm right. It's Jules.
Jules is traditionally the goodest character. Like he's probably the goodest person.
You took the hipster route.
I took the more interesting route. Yeah.
You used to accuse me of an Ozark whenever I picked somebody who wasn't Marty.
Ozark, we've covered all four seasons. Check it out.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. There you go. Joe.
All right. Well, that brings us to what I think is the more interesting one. The baddest character. Now, I think Devil is a pretty easy road to go here. Pretty easy route to take, I guess is a better way to say
it.
He's
the Jules of baddest character.
Right. He's the Jules of baddest character. But if you didn't take Jules for goodest character, I can't imagine you took Devil for baddest character. So then who do you take? I don't think you take Diane. You might do the hipster thing and take David for baddest character. Since you took Joe for goodest character. Oh, man. I'm not going to guess that, but I kind of hope you did that. I'm going to say that you said Vincent was the baddest character.
All right. And since you said Jules, I think you said David as the baddest character.
David?
Sorry, not David. Devil. Sorry, Devil. Devil.
Okay.
My bad.
Oh. I did not. Oh. I said our guy, Kyle Bedrosian.
Okay.
I did. All and right. I think it's justifiable.
All right, defend
Kyle
it.
Bedrosian is the baddest character.
All right,
Vincent, I thought about saying Vincent.
Yeah, I thought of it too. He's the second person I was going to pick, if not the devil.
But then I was like, you know what? Vincent, he's just doing math. It's an equation.
You gave me crap for picking Joe as the goodest character. You picked Kyle Bedrosian, but go on. Sorry.
Well, hold on. I haven't gotten to Kyle yet. I'm telling you why I didn't pick David.
Yeah, okay.
Or why I didn't pick Vincent, because, you know, Vincent's just doing math. He's just, you know, he doesn't, just these aren't people to him. That's it. So it was an equation. He says
math is an evil.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. If somebody robs me of billions, I'm probably going after them too. So I'm not going to say Vincent. Devil's just, you know, he's just paid to do a job. It's just a job.
Come on. Nuremberg trials has already shown against this, but go on. I guess we don't have to go by.
I've been to Nuremberg, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, beside the point, Kyle Bedrosian, the guy has all kinds of opportunities to do good and continuously doesn't do it, but rather does bad. He sends guys to kidnap Joe just for telling the truth in a police statement, the truth about him, the guy who did a hit and run for no apparent reason. He wasn't even to blame. Sign was broken. Lady was on her cell phone. He could have gotten off scot-free, but no, he chose to hit and run anyway.
Who's the baddest character in this series?
Oh, he also kidnapped Joe and extorts Joe and like blackballs him and so he can't get a shop. Like, what? He does no good and consistently does bad. That's the baddest character to me. And he knows it's wrong. He definitely knows it's wrong.
I think a lot of these characters, well, Hawks doesn't actually admit what he does is wrong. The devil knows what he does is wrong. I went with the devil. The Jules.
You did?
For this case. Yeah, I said the devil.
You went with the devil for this, but not Jules for goodest character.
I'll say the inverse for you. You said Jules for the goodest character, but said Kyle Bedrosian for baddest.
Look, I think
that... Listen, I feel like you should have said the devil if you said Jules. I see what you're saying for Kyle Bedrosian. I disagree with that. But
Kyle Bedrosian's a bad dude, man. There's nothing good about that guy. He's just bad to the bone.
This is ridiculous. What is this?
Kyle Bedrosian.
All right.
Plus, the devil has those sick tracksuits. Kyle Bedrosian doesn't have that.
You're right. That does make him a little gooder. No truly evil person could be wearing a tracksuit. Look, even
not a
Joe,
purple and pink one.
Even Joe starts wearing it.
That's right.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, then let's move on.
That was a good discussion. Good discussion.
That was interesting. That was interesting to say the least. We gave some hipster choices from each of us. Interesting okay. ones.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. Most character growth. Now remember, this is for better or worse. It doesn't have to be just, you know, someone who improves. This could be somebody who devolves. Most character growth. Is it my turn to guess? No, I just guessed.
I guess you. So
okay.
The fact that you say that, I'm going to say, because
I always say that? I feel like I consistently say that every episode.
You might. You might. But I was already thinking about guessing this for you. And now I'm confident. I shouldn't say confident. I'm just going to do it. You said a czar.
Okay. And you said, I think you said David specifically, not Joe, but David, who evolved into Joe. That's a pretty big change.
No, I did not.
What did you say?
I said a czar.
I did too.
All right. There you go. Yes. Okay. We both agree on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great pick. I mean, that's a huge change in Azar. She goes from just, you know, spray painting, loving her grandpa, minding her own business, to cold-blooded killer. Double killer.
I mean, yeah, she's, I don't want to say a monster, but she her heart has darkened, or at least she's not as fun as she used to be, I guess.
Her spray painting is going to be a lot less colorful.
Yeah, yeah. No.
From this point forward,
this series was not kind to Azar.
No,
not at all.
Yeah,
I mean, it's an alternate way Joe could have been. I mean, I can see Joe. That's what I like about Azar. It's like,
yeah, you're right.
You know, you might look at Azar, but Joe is not very far from being Azar. Just had to take some losses.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great point.
I love Azar's. I guess a weird foil. No, not really. Against Joe.
I don't know about foil. Just a contrast.
Yeah.
Just what could have been.
So okay.
Wow. I'm pretty shocked we both said Azar for that.
No, but I think it's funny that we huff and puff about the goodest and baddest character and then goes character growth. Yeah, Azar. Even though I think people would call that, like, people would argue that we're wrong saying Azar.
Well, we qualified. I said,
I know. Like, yeah, listen, I'm with you.
For better or worse.
I'm just saying what other people might say. Similar to how people have rated this series not as highly as they should have.
Agreed. Let's fix that, people.
Well, biggest turn on the character.
I gotta guess you now, huh? Mm. Who did you turn on? I don't think Joe/David or Jules. Certainly not Devil. Maybe Diane? Maybe Officer when she turned on them. Although you had that pegged. Nah. Specialist, no. Ah, I'm gonna say Diane. I think Diane was your biggest turn on character.
Likewise, I think you said Diane too. I mean you loved Diane the final episode. Episode prior. So.
Oh, absolutely. It's Diane. Biggest Diane child character? Well. Yeah. 100%.
I said Diane as well.
Yeah, that's right. Because that's the right answer. I mean, it's like she's cold, calculating, ruthless, get the money. And now she suddenly has a cause. A big turn.
The final episode very well could have made Diane up there for baddest character.
You're right.
Had it not been for some of what they showed her motives. As to what she did.
You're right.
So, yeah. Definitely big.
Yeah. All right.
Now, honestly, right. I feel like you could argue she's goodest character in some roundabout ways. I wouldn't be making that claim, but if you can argue,
I don't think that's a legitimate claim.
Fair.
She could have easily cut right handed on it.
Anyway. We're moving on past the biggest turn on a character. We're on to most entertaining character.
Mm.
And I already forgot who guesses first. I guess first.
You guess this one first.
Easily for you, specialist.
Okay. I think you said officer.
Thought about it.
Who'd you go with?
Oh, actually, I have the wrong one written down here. I want specialist. It said specialist.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm good. That's mine as well because I thought she was... Definitely the most entertaining character.
Oh, yeah. She was.
Well, I mean, Officer, you could make an argument for, I think.
Yeah, Officer is also, I guess, pretty funny, or at least entertaining in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. But Specialist, mm-hmm. relative to the amount of airtime and time they show her, besides cabin stuff, and even once Officer shows, basically, when she's in a room with people, she's a pretty entertaining character in some way.
See, now, to me, the cabin stuff is part of what makes it the most entertaining, because... If she wasn't, I would have hated those scenes. If it's someone who's not an interesting character, someone who's not entertaining, then those scenes are nothing. Like it's the fact that she is who she is that makes those scenes.
I think you necessarily have to be entertaining. Interesting, yes. And I think she's also an interesting character separately. And that's why. Not entertaining, though. Or I should say the entertaining part doesn't matter for that.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, then... Already gonna be the creme de la creme, Mr. Sal. You gotta guess it for me. Most interesting character.
Oh dear. Well, let's see. You've already gone with. Do you repeat? I think you do. I think you take David/Joe as most interesting character.
Okay, and I think actually you don't even have Joe on your list. It's either
I don't.
It's either Joe or it's either Officer for you. You. There's no way you'd leave out Joe in the recap stuff.
Well, then I got to leave off Officer.
I think you'd be willing to do that for Joe, but maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you did put off. It's one of the two. That's for sure. I think you said Joe.
I did say Joe.
I did not.
Wow.
I said Officer. I think Officer's a very interesting character.
I agree.
The dynamic that you can never know what she's saying.
And that is cool.
She has basically a superpower. Is really, really cool and very interesting.
See, now I see why you've shoehammered Joe in as the goodest character. Because otherwise, the main character would have been left off the list.
No, Joe is the goodest character.
That's a shoehammer if ever I've seen one.
No, Joe is the goodest character. David, though, gotta watch out for David.
You are a shoehammer.
So, yeah, no, but Officer, I think, is the most interesting character. I mean, Joe's the Jules answer for goodest character, right? Like, yeah, Joe makes a lot of, he's the main character. We learn a lot of his struggles and tribulations. But Officer's kind of, there's a mystique behind Officer.
You know what Officer is? She's the hipster answer.
No, I would say there's a lot of mystique behind her. There's not as much mystique behind Joe.
Yeah, all right.
And this Joe category says most interesting, not most mystique. I think the
mystique is interesting. Exactly. I'll grant you that.
Yeah, mystique is interesting. And so Officer has a lot of mystique behind her, including her name.
Fair enough.
But also like where her allegiances lie, what she's doing, you know, is she telling the truth? Oh.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
I guess I can live with it.
That's it then, Mr. Sal. We've done our superlative. We've put an end to the chapter that is culprits and showhoppers, most likely.
Oh man.
That is a sad thing for me to say. I really like this series.
I know. It's so good.
It's a series I will remember very fondly, and I will hopefully try to get other people to watch. Don't know whether or not I can, but...
And then listen to our coverage.
Yes, and that is also an important part. Listeners, make sure they listen to our coverage. And you know what? Maybe if they don't want to listen to the coverage of Culprits, because they haven't seen it, we have a back catalog of all sorts of other stuff. Like, we just recently... we're doing Artful Dodger. We're starting up The Regime. Previously just did Bodies, Murder at the End of the World, Shrinking, all the seasons of Only Murders in the Building that are out. That's up to season 3. White Lotus, first 2 seasons, waiting on season 3. Old Man, season 1. Outer Range, season 1. All of Lost and all Leftover. The Lindelof quad set.
Box set.
Watchmen. Yeah, the box set. Miss Davis, Watchmen. So we have a lot of stuff in the back catalog that you could check out. But... we don't need to talk about the back catalog anymore. More as to let's look at the future here. What's coming out next week?
Ooh.
So we have had requests by listeners to cover certain things.
Lots of requests, and we usually just kind of say, I mean, just to be clear, it's not a slight on any listeners. It's just we have kind of a formula that we use to figure out what series to cover next that will work for us. But you can take it from there.
Yeah. So yeah, we get requests, and we can't just do a request because someone's requesting it. Like, it might not work for a multitude of reasons that we can't really cover it. Whether it's that like the series too small, it's not our style, like it wouldn't be a very good thing to cover. We don't think we could like do it and get enough people to actually like listen to us talking about it. We're kind of bucking the trend a little bit here. It's a little bit of a risk, but also on the other hand, it's a series that both of us really want to watch. It's been very acclaimed. I've had even people that I personally know that recommended the series, and also some listeners have emailed in and.
Yeah, like pretty much every listener who's ever suggested a series to us has suggested this series.
I think so. There might be. I know there's a second one that's been recommended the most, and I think they've. I don't remember the name of it now. Do you know what I'm referring to?
No, I don't. So we'll have to talk about that afterwards.
Yeah, we'll talk about it after. You read the book on this series.
Oh.
Okay. Well, in either case, it's going to be Severance. We're doing Severance. If you know nothing about it, it's on Apple TV. Season 2 is going to come out. Do you know what the estimated release date is for season 2?
Just this year, 2024 is all I know.
Okay, so we don't even know when it's coming out yet. They don't have a set date. But we're doing season 1 way late off the trend. I think it came out in 2022. So we are late to it, but season 2 will be around the corner. So maybe, even if you've already seen Severance, maybe it's a good time to, you know, refresh your mind on it. Give
That's
it a rewatch.
That's a great point.
Apparently, it's a really good series. Me and Mr. Sal, we have not... We've only recorded the first 2 episodes. We don't really even know where it goes, but it's a good start, at least. And it's had critical acclaim. So we're very excited as you go through it. I would highly recommend it to you. If you don't know what the plot it's about, it's about... you go to work, and at work... You have memories, you do everything that you do at work, but when you leave work, that's a different consciousness altogether. You forget all your thoughts and whatever you were thinking at work, and you're at home or your personal stuff out of work life. That's a whole different person. It's almost like there's 2 different persons in one body, and that's the concept of the series, and they run with that. So that's all I'll say on that part. Go check it out. Check out the trailer. I'd really recommend it. That will start releasing on Mondays following this release. So next week, Severance episode 1, we're gonna drop that coverage. In the meantime, we have episode 2 of The Regime coming out later this week, so we're covering the short series of Regime, And that's the schedule for the next, you know, few weeks to come until the regime finishes up. So really, I'd ask you guys to check out Severance. And other than that, you know, subscribe, share the podcast as always, leave us some reviews. And really, again, if you really want to contact us, maybe you want to make a comment on Culprits, maybe you want to recommend another series. It's a big reason why we're doing Severance now. Email us, showuperspodcast@gmail.com, and we'll definitely put it into consideration and we'll reply back. So anything else from you, Mr. Sal?
No, I'm just really glad we covered Culprits.
I am too. I am too. I'm very happy we covered it. And it's a good ending. And thank you, listeners, for listening along with us.
Shoehammer some showhoppers into your day.